We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. He's an MCSE here at TAB. And we're broadcasting live from the hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford, Connecticut, where the curve is flat and we're still closed. Well, we'll talk about that later. But we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Last week, we made the decision to not go on with a live program because there were some issues still with power at the station, and of course, hundreds of thousands of folks who are still without power. So it's kind of hard to talk about computers when you can't turn it on because you have no power or internet or what have you. So we just made the decision to not go. So that's what we were doing last weekend. In the current news these days, technology speaking, we've talked about this before. California is working hard to break the gig economy over there. And they have designated Lyft and Uber. They want to designate those folks as employees, not people who have just taken an app to decide when they want to go and pick up people, you know, and drive them around and make some extra bucks. California saying, no, you're an employee. You should get health insurance. You should get this. You should get that if you're going to do this. And obviously what Uber and Lyft have to decide is whether or not they want to operate in California. Because if you're a gig economy, or
I was reading another article that said that if they pass that law, they're going to pull out.
I think they should. That's the article I see here.
Right.
Lyft's president threatens to shut down California operations. Again, that's just kind of how this stuff works, guys. I mean, these well-meaning politicians are not helping anybody. They just want more, you know, I don't know what it is, if it's going to be workman's comp or tax revenues to come to the coffers, but you can't, you know, these folks are gig employees. They're deciding to get up in the morning and maybe 2 hours before their shift, wherever it might be, they might go to the airport, pick up some fares, make some money, and then go on about their day. That does not make you an employee. In the same way, when I was delivering papers for the Hartford Courant, if they made me an employee, you would never have gotten your paper. They couldn't afford to pay me an hourly wage to deliver your paper as an employee, given a 12-year-old health insurance, right? I mean, that's what they're saying. Current would have screamed bloody murder if they had to do that. But well, obviously,
I think they're protecting the taxi companies who don't want the competition.
That's probably true. Any kind of disruption is out there, but we'll see what happens. If you're part of the gig economy, your legislature and your government's here to help. So of course, you won't have any job. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. What else you got, Bob? You want to talk about some weird scientific?
Yeah, I got a nut job here.
You have a scientist.
Scientist.
They're all scientists are very respected.
Well, yes. Well, I respect it. But you know,
wait till you hear this one.
CNET article. This is pretty good. The title is "Digital Data Could Overtake Earth's Actual Atoms," physicist says.
Really? This physicist thinks digital data is going to overtake our atoms.
Right. But it doesn't talk about mass. Just talks about the number of atoms.
Gotcha.
Some physicists think our data is as real as the air we breathe, and it may eventually overtake our world.
Oh, no. Another disaster conspiracy.
Oh, yeah. The end is coming.
The end is coming.
As I write this, the precious metals and fossil fuels used to create and power the server farms and other infrastructure that will eventually blast these words onto your retinas are being converted to information.
Right.
Eventually, those digital bits will actually outnumber all the atoms on Earth,
ooh,
according to one theoretical physicist.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has too much time on his hands.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, we are literally changing the planet bit by bit, and it's an inevitable crisis. Melvin Vopson.
Is it Dr. Melvin Vopson? Is there a doctor in front of him?
Probably a PhD.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Who lectures at the University of Plymouth in the UK, said in a release.
Nice.
So further, Vopson isn't just talking about how all our digital technology uses up natural resources and creates planet-warming greenhouse emissions,
mm-hmm,
although he notes that this is happening too.
It is.
Instead, he calculates that as the amount of digital bits we create continues to grow, they could actually outnumber the total atoms on Earth as soon as 2170, assuming a 50% annual growth in digital bits created.
Right.
As the growth of digital information seems truly unstoppable, Vopson said, according to IBM and other big data research sources, 90% of the world's data today has been created in the last 10 years alone.
So what?
In some ways, the current COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated this process as more digital content is used and produced than ever before.
Right.
So he published a paper. There's more to this article, and they're trying to calculate basically a way to quantify the mass of a bit of data.
Right, because it's very scary because it could take over the planet.
Yeah. Well, no, but it'll convert the planet into a digital world. I was thinking like The Matrix.
Yes, but that's when we're all batteries. The planet still existed even though we were in those little batteries.
Yeah.
That, you know, nothing changed there.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to read any more.
Ding dong. Another flat earther. Here's an article for you. Whoops, our bad. We just may have accidentally left Google Home devices recording your every word and sound. Sorry. In brief, your Google Home speaker may have been quietly recording sounds around your house without your permission or authorization. It was revealed this week. Now, this is from my favorite tech blog over there at the Register, and they call Google the Chocolate Factory. So in this article, he goes, the Chocolate Factory admitted it had accidentally, of course, turned on a feature. This is a feature we all want that allowed its voice-controlled AI-based assistant to activate and snoop on its surroundings. Normally, the device only starts actively listening and making a note of what it hears after it hears a wake-up word, such as okay, Google, or hey, Google, for privacy reasons. Yeah, right. Prior to waking up, it's constantly listening out for those words, but it is not supposed to keep a record of what it hears. Not supposed to, but it was.
Wow. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. I mean, I've been saying this ever since these silly things came out. You know, they call it a smart speaker. I have always called it a smart microphone because that's what it is. And we're so sorry, they say, your stuff has been out there. But, you know, again, it doesn't matter if there's nothing you're saying that's wrong. But these days, it seems even thinking certain ways is wrong. So saying it, my goodness, imagine what they could do to you for saying something wrong.
Or they could take something out of context.
Who's they? Who is they?
Anybody. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
We don't know who
they
is.
Who they is. So, and then all of a sudden they post it or they dox you, as it were, where, you know, if doxing is a thing where they actually put your data out there, everything about you, if you're some sort of political enemy of somebody, imagine if they dox you with your actual voice.
That's right.
So, I don't know. If you guys like these things in your house, keep them. It's not like I'm saying anything wrong, I don't think. But I'm not putting one of these things in my house. However, we all already pretty much are aware of our phones listening to us, too. You can almost say anything, and eventually it ends up in your feed of whatever feed you're looking at. So, there's issues there as well. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob?
Okay. Google has stopped responding to data requests from Hong Kong authorities.
Oh, that's good.
Google is now treating requests from Hong Kong authorities the same as it does as those from mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
Google will stop responding to requests and and is instead directing requests for user data to a mutual legal assistance treaty with the United States that is done in conjunction with the Department of Justice.
Right.
So the move was first reported by the Washington Post, comes as a new national security law imposed by China curbed political expression. Although Hong Kong officials have said that the law would only target a, quote, small minority, unquote, human rights groups such as Amnesty International are concerned the police will use the new law as a way to crack down on government critics, with those that are found guilty potentially facing life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So
again,
obviously, no constitution there.
Well, the constitution here is getting a little shaky, too. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You guys jammed up the phone lines this morning. That's great. We appreciate that. That way I can tell my wife I came in to work and did something for you guys. So we're happy that we're actually coming in and doing some work for you guys. So let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Wes Simsbury and David. What's going on, David?
Yeah, good morning to you.
Morning.
A question for you. I've got a Mac background, PC tech support long before that.
Yeah.
In my Mac time now, I'm going to ask you about Windows in the end. There's a feature where I can set a locale. I can call it anything I want. I can set IP, fix it, and then have another locale that goes to DHCP. Got that? I can't figure out how to do that in Windows.
As far as how to set up your DHCP settings in
I know all about that. I want to have a locale, call it home and work or Joe's house and Sue's house, but I want one to be a fixed IP, static from the computer, and the other to be DHCP.
Oh, when you're within the network.
When I'm in, it won't know. I'm at home, I can set it to my fixed IP.
Right.
If I go out, I can set it to DHCP by a switch rather than having to change all the settings.
Yeah, no, so you want that to happen automatically.
Well, no. I'm happy to go and choose whichever one of those places I'm at.
All right.
But I can't find where to set a place like that to do it.
Well, I mean, it's in your network IP settings, and is within Windows would be the only place that I can think of is whether or not you set yourself as a static or a dynamic IP.
No. I understand that. But I want to have, like I say, a locale. So I click locale A, it's DHCP. I click locale B, it's IP fixed.
Do you know what he's saying?
Yeah, I think they used to have a feature years ago. I haven't, maybe it's still there. I haven't used it in so many years,
Googling,
I can't remember.
I've been searching, I'm in front of their network sharing.
But I used to set up what would then called profiles,
mm-hmm.
where
exactly.
You would set up a profile for if you were working at home, and then you could do all of that stuff, and then you'd do a different profile for when you were at work. But that was like on a laptop, and you know, I haven't done one in such a long time. I'd be honest with you, I'd have to research it to find out.
Yeah,
how to do it.
It's a pretty rare request, I would think.
Not really.
No,
this is for a friend of mine.
Yeah.
You know, he works at home. He's got his home office. He's got a fixed IP, but when he goes out in the world, he needs to get onto DHCP to get onto Wi-Fi and stuff.
Right.
And so it's a royal pain in the butt for him to try and manually change the settings each time he goes one place or another.
Well, I mean, it's only one setting in the networking config, but I hear what you're saying. I would have to do some looking up ourselves. You said you did some research and you couldn't find anything.
I've done it. I might not have used the word profile, which I like that. I'm going to go back to good old Google and look it up. But, I've done some. I have a tech background, so I have done some searching and haven't found
The key with searching, right, is that one keyword that'll get you
the data
you need. But configuring user profiles in this way, in our client base of about 8,000 systems, I've never even heard of anybody asking for it. So,
well, you can see how he would use it.
Of course, yeah. Well, I don't understand why he wants to be static in his own home.
I don't know either, to be quite honest with you. But whoever, and I'm going to ask him about that.
That's the key.
Yeah,
that's,
whoever set him up on it, set him up that way.
Right, and there could be a whole fallacy of logic for that to exist in the first place.
Yeah, I'll have to work on that with him.
But. Okay, I found an article here from 2005.
Well, I had a lot more hair back then.
But it said configuring multiple hardware profiles for a versatile laptop. So this may or may not be able to help you.
Well, because the operating system will not be Windows 10.
Yeah, Win 10, I'm
right.
sure.
Yeah. But theoretically, most of the components should be there.
Yeah, so it might be a profile-based change. But so if you can avoid even doing it, just avoid doing it and ask him to stop being static in his own home.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him the reason for that, because it doesn't make sense either.
Nope.
And for me, I do, actually, he could do it the other way, by the router. I do all my static stuff at home, but I do it through the router and
right.
my address.
Yeah,
right.
That makes more sense
you've
to me.
Given me some leads. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that call was interesting in that the key, and we do come across a lot of this in our practice, is that, you know, people don't know why they're doing what they're doing and how they got to where they were going in the first place. You know, in this case, he's trying to solve a problem, but there's no the actual premise of the problem may not make any sense whatsoever as to why the user is statically assigned within their own home network and then want the ease of being dynamic when they're outside, rather than thinking, well, let's just make it dynamic all the way around. Why would a home network require a static IP of your device? I can't even think of that.
It's on a different subnet, but then
it's internal, though.
You could theoretically re-IP your internal subnet.
Yeah.
You know, your home subnet's going to be a lot smaller than your business subnet.
But a lot of things when it comes to IT is, you know, well, that's the way we always did it. That's the way we always want to do it. And you don't know why you got there. You don't even know the decisions or why the decisions were made to get you from point A to point B. And you end up then trying to do this weird workaround to get to point C.
And the problem is there's as many different ways to do it, probably more than there are people on the planet.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Patty in Marlboro next. What's going on, Patty?
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I currently have a cable and internet service.
Yeah.
And I'd like to cut the cable and just have an inexpensive internet service.
Mm-hmm.
I currently have Comcast.
All right. You can do that with Comcast. You can ask them to give you the lowest internet service they offer you. How many people are in your home?
Two.
Okay.
I'm the only one that uses really the internet service.
Okay. So if you ask them for the lowest speed you can get with just internet, that's where I would start. That way you'd have the least disruptive option there, maybe 50 megabit service or 80 megabit or 100 megabit service. That's all you really need.
Okay.
If you want to look at alternatives, I don't think Marlboro has too many alternative internet companies, though.
We don't. I called AT&T, and we can't get AT&T out here.
Yeah, you're probably lucky.
We're, Frontier and Comcast.
Yeah, and Frontier is not going to be very, very good as far as bandwidth goes.
That's correct. I had them and was disappointed, so I got turned over to Comcast.
Yep, so until a new fiber network comes in the area, an alternative to Comcast, you're kind of stuck with them.
Really?
But, yep.
That's exactly it. Now, so I could really cut my cable. Now, I've heard a lot about these Fire Sticks and other devices that plug into your port, your HDMI port on your TV.
Yeah.
What do you think of those?
They're fine. I'm a bigger fan of a more substantial streaming device called an NVIDIA Shield.
What is it called?
NVIDIA, NVIDIA Shield, as in think of like a Roman shield.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why they call it what they did, but they did. And it's a great streaming device, and it's much more robust than those Fire Sticks. But you know, the Fire Sticks work. You get the Fire Sticks, you've got your Rokus, you've got all sorts of solutions out there you can try.
Mm-hmm.
I just have found that if I wanted to have a good result that's going to interface well with a home stereo system or a receiver that's going to use the Dolby technology, and this is going to upscale my video, it does a lot better with this Shield device.
Hmm. Now, is this something you could purchase in, you know, the stores here, the retail stores? Or do you have to order this from somebody else?
I would try to get it online, either through Amazon or through Shield directly, through NVIDIA directly.
Okay,
we'll put a link.
Yeah, because basically all we really watch is Fox News.
That's it, huh?
Really, I'm not into, you know, movies. My husband may watch golf once in a while, but, you know, we're not big TV people.
Then you shouldn't spend the money on the Shield. You should just get to the cheapest device you need then.
Really?
Yeah, because this is going to give you a tremendous result for movies. It's very, very fast. But if you only have one channel on all day, you don't need to change channel. Don't spend too much money on your streaming device.
Yeah. Well, what kind of money are we talking about for this?
$250.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Got a little lower here.
You found a lower price one?
Yeah, it's right on NVIDIA.
Yeah.
It's $150 for the regular and $199 for the pro.
Right.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a look at it, but, you know.
Yeah, I definitely will. Yeah, because my cable bill is just, you know, with Comcast is ridiculous.
Yeah. We don't have any competition. We can thank our legislators and Pura. Same people who give us the great electricity deals where they regulate the electric company. That's why we have the same problem with internet. Welcome to our legislature.
I know. I hear you there then. Well, okay. I appreciate the information.
My pleasure, Patty. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Get online, guys. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And we're streaming live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Bob and I's bright, shining faces are there for you to see in all the HD glory you can stand. We'll be right back. We are back. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then, yes, Dr. Lessie will be in with Healthy Rounds, so stick around for that. Then feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Ray in Middletown next. Hey, Ray.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a problem that's driving me crazy. My cell phone service is sometimes it's almost not there at all. I have to go outside, stand at the top of my driveway to send a text or anything like that. Sometimes in the house it goes, and sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time it does not. So I kind of investigated cell signal boosters a little bit, and I'm wondering what your thoughts on those would be. Anything that could help me out in choosing one, or
We would base it on your actual carrier. So if you have a Verizon system, you'd want to have a Verizon booster. If you have an AT&T, you want to get it through AT&T. How old is your phone, though? You should be able to connect to your internal Wi-Fi network and make your calls that way. You shouldn't have to stand out there and do all those crazy...
I thought a phone had to be Wi-Fi capable. But the phone's not that old. It's a... I don't know. I didn't buy it. I bought it on Amazon. It's an unlocked LG... G7 Fit.
All right. But can you turn on Wi-Fi calling?
I don't see that option on my phone.
So you have an older Android operating system. So sometimes, how much did it cost? Was it a very inexpensive?
I think it was a couple $100.
Yeah. So you could choose to amplify the poor cellular quality or get a better phone that's able to make Wi-Fi calls and interface with your Wi-Fi network in your home, so you're not, you know, doing what you're doing. But they do work. The boosters do work. So that I can tell you. I wouldn't tell you which brand, but I would tell you to call your carrier, or go to wherever you buy your service and ask them to sell you the booster.
Because I actually get my service. Well, it's I'm using Verizon, but it's actually track phone. Okay.
Yep.
But it's not a track phone per se, you know, it's an unlocked phone. But I you know, when I get the phone through them, I get a bunch of SIM cards, depending on what carrier I want to use. And I always had Verizon because I never had a problem before.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I do. I would still go to Verizon, I assume, right?
I would think so, yes. But the issue with the power also caused a lot of cell tower issues, just like it did back in October. Back at 10 years ago in the October snowstorm, when those powers lose juice, then eventually they're unable to send signals. So you could have a tower in your area that's damaged still, that hasn't been repaired, and that's why all of a sudden it happened, if it happened within the week.
No, it's been going on for a while, yeah.
Okay. And also, your service may not be prioritized. So, you know, if you think about it, you're using a third party to get your service over a primary carrier, right? So you're using track. You're paying track phone for your service, but you're not paying Verizon.
Correct.
So I wouldn't put it past Verizon to slow your service down versus others as far as prioritization goes. I'm not saying they are, but yeah. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
It's their network. It's their network, too. So if you think about it, it could also be agreed upon. And TracFone says, no problem. Our folks don't care that much about quality of service. They care about price. And so you get what you pay for. And who knows if that's happened or agreed upon, but that could be occurring.
Okay. Now, I've seen signal boosters online, like Amazon or wherever, where they will work with multiple carriers. Do you know if those are any...
I've never tried them. I wouldn't know if that's going to work or not. Again, Amazon makes me nervous, right? So who even knows if the product is a counterfeit product or a real product? I would tell you to do your research off of Amazon. Do not do any research on Amazon. Do it outside of Amazon, looking at the individual products. And then if you happen to find one that has a fair price, fine. However, again, Amazon can puts out a lot of junk, a lot of counterfeit stuff. I mean, they've got banned children's toys that every year you hear the news media talking about all the deadly toys that have been banned that Amazon's selling like crazy. They can't police their own stuff, so you don't even know what you're buying. I would tell you to be careful.
I think I'll just run over to Verizon and see what they tell me. Actually, I've gone to Verizon's website and they have only one booster. Okay.
Gotcha.
One model. That's it.
I'm on their site right now, and I've got like four of them right in front of me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I looked a couple weeks ago. Actually, I was going to call you guys last week, but
yeah. Sorry. We just figured it without the power going around. We figured we would have a recorded show. The other thought too is to consider a different service.
I probably could just.
You have an unlocked phone. I would tell you strongly to look at Google Fi.
Okay.
Just check it out. It's another alternative. It's what I use. My whole family uses it. And,
What's it called again?
Google Fi.
F-I. Google Fi?
Yeah, it's okay. Google Fi or Google Project Fi. They use multiple carriers. They use T-Mobile. Now T-Mobile is a part of Sprint as well, so that's part of it. And then U.S. Cellular. I've had no issues with my cell service or my data service. But you pay per your usage. So you turn on your data saver, and my cell bill is $20 a month.
Okay, yeah.
And it works well.
That's the reason I like TracFone. I pay like every three months a basic fee, and I get some basic amounts of minutes and stuff.
Yeah.
But if I run out of text, I just add by $5 worth of text, 1,000 texts, and for two phones, I pay it around $300 for the whole year.
Yeah, good deal.
Yeah.
I think my deal's better, but that's okay.
Is it? Okay. Well, yeah, $20, yeah.
And it's with a company that's giving me better service. I'm not having the issues you have. I'm not standing on my front step holding my phone up over my head to try to send a text.
Oh, God, yeah.
You look kind of silly to your neighbors. You must have a track phone. Just kidding.
Probably. Standing on my roof swinging a rubber chicken around my head to get a cell signal, you know?
Right, there you go.
Oh, God. Okay, I appreciate that. I'll look into that Google Fi.
Yeah, take a look at it. Your phone is unlocked, so it might support it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
All right. Good luck, Ray.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure, sir.
Have a good day.
You too, bye-bye. All right, we're going to go on to, let's go to Greg in Naugatuck. What's going on, Greg?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I had to buy a new computer.
Yeah.
And in the process, I had my... all my documents and things that I always typed in with Apache OpenOffice, I had them transferred over.
Yeah.
So now, with the new computer, when I try to open, I can open them, but Microsoft steps right in and says that most of the stuff that I have has been disabled, and I can't modify or do anything with the documents that I previously did with Apache OpenOffice. I can print them, but I can't go in and add or change or anything to them. Any tricks around that? The only Microsoft says that they want me to buy some kind of Office 365, and
what?
I don't want to do that. So
I don't
it seems
blame
like
you.
They kind of hijacked me.
That sounds like malware to me, and Microsoft is acting malicious. Have you downloaded OpenOffice onto your computer?
I had that copied over also. Should I maybe...
Copying is not going to work. They should have told you that. You have to reinstall it.
Oh, so try reinstalling that?
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering about that, but I wasn't... So listen, should I go in and delete first whatever I have and then...
You can. You can delete whatever you quote-unquote copied, because kicking off the program without having it properly installed on your operating system is part of your trouble. Apache is still supported, right, Bob?
Yeah, I actually use it on one of my computers at home.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cost anything.
So re-download it.
And, you know, it was good. I've used it for years.
Yeah.
So I don't have to necessarily delete it, but just go to the site and download it again?
Download it, install it. I would remove the application as you have it now because it's clearly not going to work.
You got it.
But your documents should stay the same. Your file associations should still be with Apache. Microsoft is trying to say, hey, you know, this is associated with a program. It's not really running. If you want to open your stuff, you can try using Word and pay us now kind of thing. So they're not being malicious.
Yep.
I just think your software wasn't installed. People always think, hey, how can I transfer everything? You can't transfer the programs. You can transfer the data. Because when you go from a Windows 7 system to a Windows 10, they're two disparate systems. The software has to reinstall and relink all its DLLs to the libraries that are now in the new operating system. You just can't copy it. And a lot of people don't understand that. So,
gotcha. Very good. I'm going to try that.
All right,
Greg.
Thanks
for the help.
You're welcome, sir. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. We are here till 11. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the website that has our program. There's a live links area and an archive links area, which all should be up and running. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook if you like Tab Computer Systems. Everything will get into your news feed. You can follow us on Twitter if you've got time for Twitter. I don't know who does, but we'll fill it into your, we'll fill that as well. And of course, you can watch us over at WTIC's Facebook page. Be sure to like it, like our broadcast, and share it. That way, Mark Zuckerberg deems us worthy, and our broadcast can get out to more people. If you guys don't like or share it, then Zuckerberg thinks we're not worthy. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Leslie will come in with Healthy Rounds, can give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then Len and Lisa are back with Garden Talk, so stick around for that. And we've got a question on the stream, Bob, over on the WTIC stream.
Yes. Well, you want to know why...
Bob over there wants to know
why Cat 6 is better than Cat 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're talking about Cat 5, Cat 5 has a limit of 100 megabits per second. Okay,
right.
And it consists of four pairs or eight wires that are twisted together. Each pair has a different number of twists per inch.
Mm-hmm.
So that as the electrons are flowing through the wire,
mm-hmm.
they create a field. And the fields don't interfere with each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Cat 5 was rated at 100 megabits, and it won't do any more than that.
Right.
We've run through into those issues.
Yeah.
Then Cat 5e is enhanced. So they actually increase the number of twists per inch,
mm-hmm.
and it works a little bit better. It'll do gigabit speeds in bursts, but it won't do it sustained.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Cat 6... they took and they did a heavier gauge wire.
Yeah.
So they went from, I don't know, there was 22 or 23 gauge. They went up to from 22 to 23 or from 23 to 22 because as it gets smaller, it gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is heavier wire and more twists per inch.
Yep.
And then they separated each pair of wires with a separator inside the cable.
Mm-hmm.
So it improves the ability. So it'll hold gigabit speeds. Sustained
and go faster. It'll go up to 10 gigabit.
Right.
So a big difference is definitely, you know, if you're going to do any kind of wiring, try to use Cat 6. A little more expensive than 5e, but not much.
Well, it's a bit pricier, but you know, It's well worth it, especially now. It doesn't worth to go to back to the 5E.
No.
You know, unless you don't care about slow speeds.
Well, again, yeah, gigabit's enough. So that's. I hope that answers your question there over at the WTIC stream there, Bob, for you. Let's get to your phone calls. We're going to go to, I think, our resident groupie, Danny in Glastonbury. What's going on, Danny?
Any recommendations or things you need to know about buying a USB wireless Wi-Fi adapter for my wife's HP computer with Windows 7 Home Premium?
It doesn't have Wi-Fi built in, or is it broken?
It doesn't have it built in. We bought a stick to put in the tower when she first got it 8 years ago, but it seems like it's getting a little fluky.
Yeah. Yeah, they do fail. There's really no major advice other than getting a current enough stick that will be more future-proof. So the latest broadcasting schemes are AC. I'm pretty sure AC is a top one. So if you get a USB wireless stick that can do the AC protocol, then when you upgrade your wireless router, you'll have those benefits.
Okay. And that would be dual band, right? It would be 5 and 4.2?
Most of them these days should, yes.
The latest protocol is AX.
AX, okay. AC is the current, but AX, okay. How fast does AX go, did they tell you?
Yeah, it's faster. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Hold on, there's a chart here. I got to find it.
That's okay. It'll go fast, but it all depends on your wireless router. You can have a device that has the ability to do it, but you need your router to give it to
right,
you.
You have speed. To get there from the router. And is there any brands or anyone better than the other or anything?
Not really. I mean, Netgear is pretty popular in the consumer lines. TP-Link.
Asus is a good one.
Say it again?
Asus?
Yeah, Asus is a good one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, how about that Starlink? They're getting some results from the satellites, and the numbers are pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard there's some competing companies that are going to be chucking up some I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, too. Isn't like Amazon going to throw up a bunch of these little satellites, too?
Yeah, except they don't build their own rockets and their own satellites.
I hear you.
120 satellites a month.
It's going to get crowded up there, I worry, Danny.
I know. But at least we're not walking around up there, so we don't have to worry about getting hit.
We don't.
We don't. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Danny. All right, let's move on to Doug in Waterbury. What's going on, Doug?
Hey there.
Hey there.
A few calls ago, I would say about four or maybe five.
Yeah.
Part of your answer to that person was because Frontier has much less width on their broadband.
They do.
And I was wondering if you could expand on that and kind of include the other few other things that Frontier probably has less of than Comcast, or more of.
Well, they don't have anything more of, other than telephone poles, which limit the amount of competition that can be placed on those poles, thanks to our regulators. But that's a whole other issue. So
that's
Frontier works.
Thing. Jeez.
Yeah, Frontier works on DSL, digital subscriber line, which is a copper-based service that's going to go over your old phone line technology generally. And the highest speeds that we've seen from that type of service maybe is 25 megabits if we're lucky, right, Bob?
Uh-huh.
For DSL.
And who's that with, Frontier?
That would be with companies that offer DSL like Frontier, yep.
Uh-huh.
And that bandwidth is not really very good. You can't do a whole lot with that type of bandwidth. I would contend that most homes with, you know, four or five folks in them in a family with streaming, gaming, internet usage, TV, you know, that kind of stuff, really needs about 50 to 60 megabits. That's all you really need.
So somebody with two could probably do 25?
Somebody with two might be able to do 25 if you're at a distance close enough for them to offer it to you. So there's limitations on the ability to offer that bandwidth based on your distance. So you could ask Frontier if it sounds like you have Frontier, if they can.
No.
What's the highest speed they can give you?
No, but I have had them, and I'm dissatisfied with both companies.
Yes, of course we all are, because there's no competition. They have no reason to satisfy us. There are competitors coming in. There are fiber competitors finally coming in. We've mentioned Go NetSpeed many times, so you can tell them you're interested in Waterbury. They're coming into Southington right now, and they'll probably be in Cheshire soon. And
what's their name again?
Go NetSpeed.
Uh-huh.
So if you tell them you're interested, that makes sense. But until you have competition, until our legislators, you know, legislate for the people rather than for their self-interest, we'll still have poor electricity service and poor internet service.
One thing else, how does Frontier and Comcast compare with telephone and TV, in your opinion?
I would stay away from both. I would use cellular for my phone, and I would use streaming for my TV, and wouldn't pay them either a penny for either of those services.
Thanks very much for all that good info.
You're welcome, sir. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, we have to stop paying these cable companies for TV and phone. We've given them enough. They've had their chance. We're done.
When we come back, I can give you the speeds on the AC versus AX.
Oh, good. We're going to take a quick break. Feel free to get online, guys, during the news. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are here till 11. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.